Hey, yo, what up, y'all? I am excited to share this with you. I could sing a song right now. Like, I could do backflips right now. I can do all of that. The Straight Up Podcast is now a part of the Growth Day Podcast Network. You heard it right. I told you, this year, I am not playing. A bunch of us are coming together to bring more growth to the world, impact to the world, purpose to the world, and to support shows and brands that we believe in. That's why I'm a part of Growth Day. It's all about impact. And guess what? One of my friends is a part of this network, and I need you to go subscribe to his show. His name is Brendan Bruchard. I know y'all know Brendan. If you don't know Brendan, you're about to know Brendan. Go subscribe to Motivation with Brendan. Brendan is a thought leader changer. He is an OG in this space. He's helped my life so much. I could talk about Brendan for 3 hours. Just go listen, and I promise you, your life will never be the same. Again, it's called Motivation with Brendan. Go subscribe today and watch how your life is impacted.
Hey, what up, rehabbers? Trent here. Welcome to episode 18 of the Straight Up Podcast. And I wanted to drop this little note to prepare you for what you're about to hear. First of all, the information is going to be incredible as I interview one of my closest friends and somebody who's made an impact in my life and thousands of people's lives across the world, Mr. Jonathan Evans. You're going to hear language that says episode 15, or you might think it's like, oh, is this the wrong episode? It's the right episode. This episode was recorded about a month ago, but we decided to release it now, which is the perfect time. Enjoy it. Your life is about to be impacted. Straight up.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Trent Shelton here. Today's a special episode because I have a guest. One of the things that I wanted to do was like bring people that I know personally. This guy that you're about to hear from is somebody that is impacting the world in a major way, but more importantly, he's impacted my life in a major way. And he's straight up, just holistically straight up from, you know, from his dreams to his, you know, being a father, being a husband, everything I know about this guy, what you see, you know, on the stage or online, you know, it's the same thing offline. And, you know, I'm not into just interviewing celebrities just for, you know, clickbait or just to interview them. I want to interview real people in my life and just kind of give a backstory just a little bit before I bring them on here. We played at Baylor together. And if you read my book, The Greatest You, you know who this guy is. He was a big part of me starting rehab time. I don't know if he knows that or not, but he was a big part because we spent some time with the Redskins. And when I look back on this, bro, like I was just talking earlier that I don't believe God brought me to the Redskins for football. I really believe he brought me there to interact with you as roommates because, you know, the conversations that we had, you helped me rededicate my life to Christ. You helping me understand that I had a bigger purpose for my life led me to doing an event at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, the Cage event, that I really didn't want to do just because I was nervous. Like, I'm an introverted person. At that time, I was T. Shelley, the rapper. But, you know, you gave me the courage to step on stage. And from the next day, I was supposed to go to arena football. But after I got off stage, I was like, I just feel like this is what I was created to do. And that literally changed my life forever. So we'll get into all of that. I want to introduce you guys to one of my closest friends, a mentor of mine, and just an all-around awesome human being, my boy, Jonathan Evans. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Happy to be the first.
What's up, rehabbers across the world? Welcome to Straight Up with Trent Shelton. Throughout my career, from the NFL to sold-out stages speaking to thousands, I built up a toolkit to break through negative mindsets, let go of what's holding you back, and start rehabbing your life. And every show is going to be jam-packed with tips, tricks, and tools to push you forward. I'm always going to be real with you and give you the 100% truth, even when it's going to pierce your heart. This is me, Trent Shelton, Straight Up.
Man, you're the first, bro. That's big. That's big. I say you're like the first person in my book, I think, to be mentioned. First person to Straight Up Podcast, so it's only right, man. Like, what titles, man? Like, what titles do you have? Like, what's your titles? Just like,
man, okay. You know, first of all, a believer.
Yeah.
You start with that.
Absolutely.
You start with that. That's number one. A believer, and then, you know, family. I always tell my kids it's going to be God. It's going to be family, and then it's going to be responsibility. And so family man, married to my wife for 13 years now. Time go by fast. I got five
I went to
kids.
That wedding, too. I
you
went
did.
To your wedding.
Yep. You did. You did. Let's say we got five kids. So three girls and two boys. You know, I pushed that on you. You know,
yeah, but I was going to say that. I was like, he's responsible for Marley. And Maria was like, you got to stop hanging around Jonathan because I don't know how many babies I can push out.
That's exactly right. So, you know, we know we believe in that. It's just, you know, be fruitful and multiply, you know, as much as you can do. So we done that though. And then I've got responsibilities. So my responsibilities are, I'm the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys, co-chaplain of the Mavericks, men's ministry at my dad's church, Dr. Tony Evans. Many of you may know that name. And then I do young adults. We got a young adults ministry named Generate. And so that's really fun for me. And then I work at the national ministry too, because taking my dad's national ministry is real important to me. So we do a lot of different hats, put it that way. And so just working in ministry, just pushing hard to do what God has called me to do.
Well, let me ask you this question. This was like totally something I wasn't going to ask, but in hearing you say all that, how do you find balance? Because I know so many listeners, they ask me that question. Like, do you even feel like balance is something that you can obtain? Or do you feel like, you know, you just kind of got to be present in every moment that you're in? Like, how do you find balance in doing all of that?
Well, the balance is understanding. It's understanding your passion and understanding the opportunities, but also understanding how to say no. No is a key word for me now. I can't be everything for everybody at all times. I just can't do it. And if I get out of priority, then I know I'm out of balance. So if I'm not loving God, loving my family, and taking care of my primary responsibilities, anything outside of those three is out of balance. And so those are the top three priorities. When I pray over my kids every night, I say, Lord, help them to love God, love their family, and take care of their responsibilities. And I say number four is fun, but I don't even put that on the list. Because if you take care of one, two, and three, number four is an automatic.
Here you go. Here you go. So I want people to write this down, like, because I'm big on that, like having people see things, whether it be on their phone, whether it be on their mirror, whatever. Like you said, if I get out of priority,
yeah,
I'm out of balance, right?
Out of priority.
Oh, right, man. Yeah. That's key, because every time my life is out of balance, I'm usually out of priority in my life.
That's right.
So, you know, one of the things that also connected us and, you know, was our mother's battling cancer. And I remember you calling me. I remember it was like a year ago, and I was in Puerto Rico, actually. And I remember you calling me and you hitting me up. And, you know, just to be honest, man, it hit me hard because I was in the moment, like with my mom going through her battle, and she still is. And, you know, it's hard for me to even find words. People always ask me, like, how do you deal with it? And I'm just like, I don't really have the words outside of just giving it to God. And, you know, your mother transitioned recently, and I went to the service. And what stood out to me, man, was, like, you're there giving the eulogy. And I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think I told you right after. Like, I was up there in tears. But you were so strong, and the message that you gave brought so much understanding for me, even with losing my grandparents, or I think anybody listening to this podcast right now, you're going to go through losses, whether you're going through it now, absolutely, you went through it, or you're going to go through it. What was your battle with it? Because I know with me, you know, just as a man of faith, my mom is like a warrior. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking God, like, why? Like, why is she going? There's people in the world that are terrible people and they're living a blessed life, which I know they're not, because that's our thinking of man. But I'm just like, man, why does my mom have to go through this? So, like, what was your journey, and just how are you, you know, dealing with it, and, you know, just whatever you want to share?
Yeah, well, first, we found out 2019 in March. We were at an event, and I couldn't figure out why my dad was so somber, because we were at the NRB convention, National Religious Broadcasters. So we were there, and my dad was going into the Hall of Fame. So we were there to watch him get inducted into the Hall of Fame for his broadcast.
Yeah.
And so we were wondering why he was so somber at the same time he was supposed to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. So finally, he brought us all into the room, to make a long story short. And he said, this is the hardest thing we've ever faced as a family. And we were like, what? That's when your heart starts beating fast. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And he said, your mom, you know, has been diagnosed with stage 4, you know, kind of a gallbladder cancer, biliary cancer. And, you know, it's all over her abdomen. There's nothing they can do. And when I heard him say there's nothing they can do, my dad can always find silver lining somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's an optimist. And so he said there's nothing they can do. And he started crying. People started crying all over the room. We don't know how much time we have and all of those different things. And then I look back at my mom, and my mom was just sitting there stoic, just like watching us cry. And then she said, everyone in this room, sit down. And we sat down, and she said, I understand your fears. I understand, you know, what you're going through. But you got to understand, like, this is spiritual warfare. This is not something that you can be shocked by. I know you're shocked, but understand that Jesus told us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have trouble. So he's letting you know up front that no matter who you are, this is what the experience is. But be of good cheer, because I have already overcome it. And so I was thinking about that. She's challenging me, and she's the one who's, you know, dealing with the cancer. And she said, no one in this family is allowed to tuck tail and run. No one in this family is allowed to stop. No one in this family is allowed to let any situation make them press the brakes. When you see these situations, you press the gas. You never let the enemy win. And so when she said that, I mean, we were sad, we were shocked, but it also put a fire under us to carry on a legacy, but also pray, you know, for healing. You know, we weren't going to give up. You know, that fight was dual. It was like, we're going to pray for healing, but we also going to keep going because my mom said, keep going. So we prayed for healing. And when we didn't get that in the physical realm, like when she died, I struggled with that. Like I battled with God. So if you watch the eulogy, you'll see that I'm talking about this battle that I have with God. Cause I'm like, you know, you said in your word, if we come to you believing, you know, we'll receive. If we have, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. You know, you said if we pray according to your will, you hear us. The heavens are open. You know, I'm quoting all of these scriptures that I've read and that I've learned, and it seemed like those things didn't come through. So I was real disappointed. I was like, how can you say this and this not come through? And, you know, when I was looking back at what my mom said, she said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome it. And I learned that God was telling me, no, Jonathan, you don't understand my victory. I have already come through. When I sent my son, Jesus Christ, I came through. I came through for past, present, and future. So, you know, there was only two options for your mom the whole time. Either she was going to be healed or she was going to be healed. Those were the two options. Like, either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. Either she was going to be well taken care of or she was going to be well taken care of. There's no other options when you're in me because I've already provided the solution 2,000 years ago when I put my son on that tree. You know what I mean? And so when I thought about that, it helped me understand the world that we live in. This is what it is. Like, you're not going to, every player who plays on a field has to retire.
That's facts.
There's no sport where the player doesn't retire. And the players that keep having the player sad when that player retires, because they're used to having that player around. But they have to remember that while their game is still going and while the clock is still ticking on their game and their life in the game, their job is to put their head down and be the best they can be for the contribution of that organization until they retire too. And so I'm not allowed to think that my retirement's not coming. All I can do is, while I'm still playing, put my head down and play the best I can for the advancement of God.
Man, I hope you guys are like listening to that, because, you know, when you were, it reminded me of my dad, right? You did up there, because my father, like, he's the one, and I don't know if I could be that one, you know, because I know people are going to look to me and be like, hey, like you're doing it. And my dad, I mean, my uncle just passed away 2 days ago, and he's going to do his brother's service. He's
Sorry
done
to hear that.
His dad's. He's done four of his sibling services. And when I look up there, and I know it's tough, but I just see my dad. I'm like, how, like, are you doing this? Like, how are you in this moment of like your father, and you're up there like serving so much? And I know it hurts him, but it's like the mission that God had put in his heart or in that moment was so big that I felt like, I don't know. It's just like, how were you able to, you know, stand in front of, you know, thousands of people at your hardest moment of your life and be able to deliver like you delivered? Like, I just.
It was just God talking to me before then. Cause I'll tell you about that battle I was having.
Yeah.
Like, I was really fighting and fussing with God. Like, how could you let this happen? And when he spoke back to me and spoke into my life, you know, through his word, just talking about, man, I told you, you're more than a conqueror. Like, I told you, you already have victory.
Yeah.
Like, I told you, I already set you free. Like, I told you that this experience that your mom is experiencing is not, you know, one of those things that's isolated to her.
Yeah.
It's an experience everyone is going to go through. But understand the silver lining or the other side of that experience. Like, this is a commencement. This is a graduation. This is, you know, a retirement only to go to the next phase, which is, you know, me perfecting the work that I've already started. Like, when the Bible says that he will complete the work that he started, like, the work that he started was perfecting us.
Yeah.
You know, the work that he started was changing us. The work that he started was all of those different things. And now he completes it, because when you get to the other side of death, when you get to the other side of that, is that's when you get to experience the fullness of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it was really me, God teaching me in that moment that this is something that not only do you have to experience yourself, But the other side of it is so much more grand than where she was when you were praying for her to be somewhere that she wouldn't rather be.
Yeah.
Like she, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like we're holding her back. So it's just me. Yeah. It's just me thinking through, you know, the reality of it. It was tough. It was hard. But the victory that we have is what I had to focus on.
Yeah.
And that was the point of that whole thing. It's like we have victory and that's where the focus is, even when it looks like you're experiencing defeat.
That brings me to fear, right? I think where we're at right now in the world, you know, the coronavirus is going on, and I don't know where we'll be at when this podcast released, you know, this coming up Wednesday. So I don't know where we'll be at. And you see the world going into, you know, a frenzy. You know, I mean, you can't get toilet paper, like nothing, right?
Nothing.
So I'm like, man, like, and it's funny because me and Maria were talking about it. It's like, I mean, I get the toilet paper thing, but like at the end of the day, like you could literally clean yourself with water if you had to. You know, it's like, so
you can do something different.
Yeah, but it just tells you, I mean, it just shows you too, like how we live in a selfish world. You know, it's just like everybody's like this, it's about me mentality. Let me get everything for myself instead of being a given. So when it comes to fear, like how do you deal with fear? How do you process fear? And how do you get over it? Because there's so many listeners right now that, you know, could be going to a situation where, you know, their parents might be, you know, sick, or could be going to a situation where they have a thing they want to do with their life, but they're so afraid. You know, my thing was, I was afraid to public speak and I was afraid to really just step out there, just being an introverted person. So like, what does fear mean to you? And like, how do you overcome fear? Maybe it's the fear of speaking or the fear of going into the unknown. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's unbelievable, you know, because I had that too, you know, when I started speaking, especially being my dad's son. Like my dad is like the Michael Jordan of preaching. So
family too, like your siblings, like
Priscilla. She
like, how is that too? Like being in a, like,
and I'm the baby.
Yeah.
So I'm getting to watch everybody do well. And I'm like, okay, I'm the failure here. This is not going to work. But cause I'm watching them, you know, do it. So that made it to where I was really, you know, kind of afraid, to go forward. And most of the people God used was afraid. You know, Moses said, I can't even talk. Like you start looking at your deficiencies and what you're not good at when you're called.
Ooh.
And so anytime, that's what fear is. Fear is seeing the purpose, but only able to look through the window of your insufficiencies when you see it. You know
we
what I mean?
Disqualify ourselves so
you
much.
Disqualify yourself. So you start disqualifying yourself. Or even if you have someone who's sick, or you start thinking about all of the things that could happen negatively because of this particular disease or because of this problem. And then the feeling starts connecting with that perspective. And so that's the way it was for me. And really what it is you have to learn to, because fear is actually another version of pride, because it's still focused on you. See, pride is not just when you think high of yourself. Pride is when you think low of yourself. Pride is when you are the subject of your focus. It doesn't matter whether it's up or down. So when I let fear, the way I feel, determine the way I walk, then it is a pride issue that still contributes to my fall. The pride comes before the fall, whether it's you think highly of yourself or whether you think down of yourself. What do you think bad of this situation? Whether you think good of this situation? If that stops you or stumps you from being able to push past when you really know that you're called to do something, then you've let your pride or your fear be the determining factor of your success.
Man, one thing about me, I love fashion. And I always made a promise to myself. Once I started my brand, I would come out with my own brand. I would rock my own clothes. I would wear my own hats. And today, I just released my new line of hats at shoprehabtime.com through Shopify. And listen, y'all, it's so easy. All because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, whenever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And just keeping it straight up, Shopify helped me take my brand from out the trunk, because I was selling my merch out the trunk, to now a worldwide brand reaching customers all across the globe. And what I love about Shopify also, there's no limit. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Trent, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Trent now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/Trent. Make sure Trent is lowercase. Let's get it.
Hope you guys are listening to this. This is why I love Jonathan. You know, these are conversations that we have like all the time. Let's go to lunch. And I leave my brain is just like spinning. I can't sleep for like three nights. I'm just like, man, because you're exactly right with that. Because when you say fear is a pride thing and an ego thing, you know, I realized that just with me speaking. You know, I mean, speaking is tough. You know, it's number one fear in the world. People are so afraid to speak. And I realized, like, backstage before I'm speaking, I'm thinking about how I'm going to look, how I'm going to sound. Yep. Like, am I going to mess up? And it's I. And I'm just like, if I'm here to serve, a servant can't have selfishness. You're there to serve the people.
What can I give?
And then so once I started getting out of myself and focus on just going to serve and my mission and giving myself permission to not be perfect and all these things, it changed. But you're exactly right, because I think so many times we focus on ourselves too much and we let fear control us.
Absolutely. Fear controls. And, you know, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Exactly.
But of love, power, and discipline. And so I try to focus on, it's not that you don't have that feeling.
Yeah.
But you have to walk in spite of it. You have to walk in spite of it. Feelings should not be the criteria of our function. And we got to understand that our function cannot be dependent on our feelings, because, you know, it says that the heart is the most deceitful of all and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so the cultural mantra of follow your heart, no, it's follow the truth and make and put a leash on your heart and make your heart, you know, come behind that. And so whenever you're able to demand that your heart or your emotions follow the truth, then you'll still be walking rightly, even though you feel wrongly. I know that's not the correct terminology, but you know, we make stuff
straight
wrong,
up.
You know?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I've had to teach myself to do. And then you realize, you know, when you're pressing past that, you know, that's why you can't give yourself the glory. That's why you can't say it was me. No, you were scared. Like you had to base it on a truth, an objective standard outside of you, to rely on that and not rely on you. Whew. So you can't give yourself no glory. You know, it ain't you. You know what I'm saying? It was that objective standard, that truth that you said, I'm gonna lean on that in spite of how I feel.
Bro, you're really like confirming things for me right now, because, you know, just right across the street, like I said, at the Cage event, it was that, like, the thing that I told my mom, because when I told her I'm through with football, like, I mean, it was like she got silent. It was just, she's like, what are you going to do with your life? Just out of protection, right?
Yeah.
But I told her, I never felt so much confidence in the midst of fear, right? In those moments. Like, I never felt so much certainty in the midst of being uncertain. And it's because, like you said, I couldn't take the glory for that, because I know me. I don't even know if you know, like, I prepared like a speech to go up there, and I got up there, I forgot it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, well, God use me. Let me just go from the heart. And I guess that's what really helped me these days, like, just be able to be that speaker from the heart, because when I prepare it, I don't know. I'm not telling you.
It'll lock you up.
It does. Yeah, you know, I'm not telling y'all don't prepare, whatever, but yeah, like, I'm more nervous when I have notes on stage.
Yep.
I am. It's just crazy.
You don't use notes?
I try not to. Like, I'll use maybe bullet points to, like, keep me on track. But if I have notes, I'm just like, okay, let me go back to my notes. So, yeah, man, I just, you know, you confirming that is just real, because that's how I knew that this was the calling for my life, because I was like, that wasn't me up there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
God used me up there. So,
yeah, your study and your experiences, all of your preparation, is just a foundation for your freedom. It's just a foundation for it, because all of the experiences you have in your life, or when you study or you prepare a speech or you try to get ready for something, you're doing that, you know, preparation sometimes can come out of nerves, like, man, I want to make sure that I'm ready. But then you have those experiences that you can't even control that are in your life. But all of that is to prop you up so that when you hit your purpose and passion, you can be free there. You know, when you talk about something, you know, you don't need notes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you talk about something you've experienced,
like your story.
When you talk about your story, you don't need notes. So your story is the most impactful part of anything. You know what I mean? And the problem is when people don't let their story out due to fear. The problem is all of this foundation, you know, that's the hardest part, laying this concrete, all of this foundation that's been set up to unleash you to the world, to unleash your story, to unleash your passions, gets brought back down because you're concerned whether the house is going to stand or not. And it's just like, you know, so a lot of people, when you talk about, you know, greatness,
yeah,
a lot of people can't achieve it because that fear, even though the foundation has been set by all of their experiences, their fear holds them back. So they don't get to experience, they leave life. What's the point of going through the sands of life only to look back and see that there were no footprints? Because you were afraid that your feet would get stuck.
Man, what's your Instagram right now? Because I want to make sure in the moment people get. I don't wait to the end. What's your Instagram?
Instagram
right
is my name. Just Jonathan Blake Evans. There you Jonathan go. Okay. Blake Evans.
Yeah. We got to make sure to get that in because I'll get in this moment, forget we even talking to y'all right now. And so just taking in this, man. So you had a message I just saw on Instagram, and I actually reposted it about dealing with the coronavirus, right?
Okay.
One of the things that I want to ask you this question. I think I already know the answer to. But so many times we want to be in control of our lives, right? And that's I think this is a perfect example to show people that no matter how much you think you're in control, you're not in control.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, like, what do you feel about that? You feel like there, I know you can influence certain things in your life, right? Not to be, I'm not telling people to be irresponsible, but
absolutely.
Do you feel like you can be in control over your life? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I feel like I can control the different aspects of the boundaries that have been set for my life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like ultimately, you know, God is sovereign. He sets the boundaries. Okay. But inside of that, you know, like when you talk about the virus, I can control my surroundings.
Yeah.
I can control whether I'm with the crowd or the few. I mean, this teaches you a lot about, you know, how negative it can be just associating with the crowd instead of the few. Because right now they're cutting down on the crowds. Because the crowds is where you get infected, and people live their life for the crowds. But the crowds is where you get infected, you know, because you don't know what people are carrying that are influencing your life in a negative way. So I can control those things. I can make sure I'm in positive environments where the people that I'm around are healthy so that I don't get infected by anything negative.
Yeah.
You know, I can control some of those things. But ultimately, back to your question, there are things in this life, a lot of this life is out of control. I mean, businesses are shutting down. The NBA is shutting down. All of these different things are shutting down off of something you can't even see. Like, it's off of something that you can't even see that came from halfway around the world, you know, that's shutting stuff down. And so all you can do is have faith, and based on that faith, be as best prepared as you can be for whatever circumstances may come. And so I try to allow, you know, my faith to have priority in how I walk. And faith means you can't see it. Faith means, you know, my dad said, faith is this. It's acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so simply because God said so.
Repeat that.
Okay?
Repeat that.
Faith is acting like it is so,
yeah,
even when it's not so, so that it might be so simply because God said so. Mm. It's acting like it's true, whether you feel it or whether you see it or not, whether you totally understand it, you want to press forward in it. So I think a lot of change has come, you know, based on this virus. We've made some changes, and we've made them by faith. I mean, we know what people are saying, but we don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know if we touch something, if we're going to get sick. All we can do is do the best we can do based on the knowledge that we have. And that's all you can do in your sphere with your family, in your sphere with your job, in your sphere with your kids. You do the best that you can do, and you allow your faith to take care of the rest. You know what I mean? And so that's what we have control of, is to do our best. And you teach that all the time. You know, doing the best in the circumference that you're in, and the boundaries that God has set up. You do your best where you're planted, and you have faith there, and God can flourish you anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think, man, I mean, that's perfectly put. And I think, too, we were talking about this right before we came in here, how it is pulling back the curtain on people's lives, right? And where you found significance in, you know? Yep. So, I mean, like myself, I had events canceled, you know? Yep. I mean, events are canceled. I mean, speaking in front of all these people, it also exposes even, too, you know, hopefully this thing, you know, comes and goes, but
definitely
it exposes, you know, finances and things like that. Oh, you know, gosh. I mean, if you don't have stuff saved up, and it's something that you told me a long time ago, I don't know the words that you put in them, but you basically said, like, you know, what you have doesn't show how much money you have, it shows how much money you spent. And that's exactly always right. Stuck with me. It's always stuck with me. It's probably the reason why I'm still driving a 2,000 to 150,000 mile car. I'll probably get a new car soon, but it always stuck with me because I'm like, man, that's right. Because, you know, so much of my life, you know, growing up, you know, just what I thought success was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you used to call me BET and Baylor.
Man, he comes straight out of the house looking like he just watched a Fabulous video at the time. That's who was hot. I was like, man, what? You just watched a Fabulous video. You came out of the house, had spinners and everything.
I had spinners, man. Like, I mean, the fake chain, all that stuff, man. And it's just like, I thought that's what success was. You know, I thought it was having all these things. And I'm glad that, again, I feel like going through the NFL phase really prepared me for what I have now. And so now I'm all into saving, I'm all into being debt free, I'm all into investing and things like that. Like, so I know you're like that also. Yeah. Like, what did you learn that from your dad, or like, or what do you just like, what do you feel about that?
It definitely came from, you know, from growing up. Like, my dad didn't give us credit cards, and he just taught us the concept of, you know, loans means it's not your money, you know, all of those different things. Yeah. And so those were things that I learned, you know, just from him, but also, you know, just making smart investments and things of that nature. But the key that you were talking about is, you know, living for other people will crush you.
Impressing, I always say IOP is impressing other people.
Impressing people other people will crush you. People go broke for
it. You know, and that's the question I ask myself too. Like, I'm not an emotional buyer, I don't think. Like, emotional buyer, you just buy off emotions. Like, if I come back to it a week later or two, even with our house that we're getting, right, I had to, like, really come back to it. I'm like, man, do I really, and it's obviously a house is a, is not a, is a asset, different, not a liability, yes, right?
Yep.
But I'm always like that, bro. I'm like, am I getting this for me? And I do this weird thing, like, if I was the only person in this world, nobody could see it, nobody can say, oh, that's dope, that looks cool, would you still get it?
Yep.
And if my heart is like, yeah, I really want this, then I'll get it for the most part, unless it's something that's super crazy. So, like, there's so many people in this world, and I know some of y'all might get a little, little offensive in this, but a straight up podcast is being truthful. The truth sometimes hurts, but it always helps. But there's so many people in this world going broke trying to impress other people.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean,
not only impress other people, but they spend a lot of money for something that they can't enjoy. Because when you are house broke, it impresses other people, but you can't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when your car broke, you're impressing a lot of people, but you sweating trying to make sure that you get this thing done. You know, that you get this note paid, that you get to keep it. Or when hard times hit where, you know, banks may close or the government, like this virus may have to shut things down or may have to change some things. You're stuck with notes payable based on a perception that you would like to have from people that could care less about you. You know, you're talking about, you know, they could care less about you. And I learned that. I learned that, bro. Like, I learned that the reality of life, you know, is so important. Because When we talk about my mom earlier, and you talk about people leaving, you know, when I was a chaplain for the Cowboys, you know, we had a player death on the team. And that was like 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, that whole 20 seconds of silence thing is real. Like, we went on the field and they said, let's give this person 20 seconds of silence. And then they were like, all right, let's kick the ball off because we came here to see a football game.
Yeah.
And I was like, no matter what he contributed to the NFL and to the world, the best we could do is give him 20 seconds of silence. So you can live for people as long as you want to, but I guarantee you the best we're going to be able to do for you is give you about 20 seconds of silence. And then we're going to move on and keep going about our business, because the world keeps turning. The world keeps turning. It doesn't matter who you are. Like, nobody on this podcast, nobody teaching this podcast, me and you, is greater than Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson is coolest. You don't like Michael Jackson, you whack. Like, that is music. Like, he's the coolest dude. But to be honest with you, no disrespect to him, but because I'm so busy and the world keeps turning, like, I haven't really thought about that in like 10 years. Like, every now and then when the anniversary comes around, I'll start dancing again.
You think about Kobe music right now. Like, it's not, like, I mean, like, it's fresh, but not many people are still talking about Kobe.
Yeah.
That's Kobe.
It's Kobe. Like, and we won't be as big as these guys from a world impressionable standpoint. Like, these guys are mountains as it relates to this world. And just know that the world keeps turning. People keep going. Like, now we got to talk about the coronavirus. Like, what's news now? Like, everything keeps going. And so if you're living for the 15 minutes of fame or the 20 seconds of silence, you're spending a whole lot of money for something that doesn't last very long.
Hey, you, here's something that you might not know about me. I am an Airbnb host. I first started hosting on Airbnb about 2 years ago. I have a cabin called Protect Your Peace Cabin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and it's magical. Just imagine waking up to the fresh scent of pine in the air from the trees, right in the middle of the woods. You have a jacuzzi. We have a fire pit that makes great conversations at night, a grill. And guess what? Even in the morning, you can catch a few deer in the backyard. I spend so much time making this cabin the perfect escape for me and my family to unwind and fully relax. But truth is, I only use it a few times a year. But now, with Airbnb, I'm making good use of my space all year round and earning extra cash at the same time. Let me tell you my top three reasons on why I love hosting on Airbnb. Number one, it brings extra income. I love sharing my home with friends and guests, and now I can get paid to do so. Number two, beautiful memories. When people reach out and tell me how much they enjoyed their stay and had a great trip, I love being a part of it. It's the best feeling to me. And number three, it's easy. Even with my busy schedule as an entrepreneur and speaker, I can still make time to be an Airbnb host. I can't think of a better business idea that just takes a few hours a week to manage. And now with my book tour coming up, I'm thinking of putting my regular home on Airbnb too, so I can host guests while I'm on the road for a month or so. A lot of people don't even realize they may have an Airbnb of their own right under their noses. They may even overcomplicate it. You can Airbnb your place or your spare room, even if you're out of town for a few days or for a few weeks. So whether you have an investment property or extra bedrooms in your home, hosting on Airbnb is a great way to earn extra income. Next time you're planning a trip or want to share those extra spaces, consider hosting on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. That's airbnb.com/host to find out how much your home is worth.
What's your legacy? Like, what are people going to really say about you? It's really your family. It's really the people who are closest to you that know you, the people that you impact, the people that you give to. That's why the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Because if you're taking and taking and taking, then you won't be remembered for anything but what you have. And I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. What you have doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. And so it's important for us to think long term. And when you think long term, it makes you live a little bit differently.
You know, I asked them a question. I did a podcast, Die With Your Dreams. And it was, you know, I would say the wise man. I've got to listen. You're the wise man that told me this, right? I just be like, if I say anything that comes to my mind as a wise man, it's J.E. And I said, you know, and I'm sure you could, you quote this way better than me. But it was about, I remember you told me, man, it stuck with me. And I made that video with Tristan. It was like, you're not, you know, you're not old or young because of your birthday. You're old or young based upon your death day.
That's right.
And what you do between the dash really matters. And I asked them this question on the Die With Your Dreams podcast, because I just say so many people are going to die not meeting the greatest version of themselves. And the question that I ask myself often, and I want like your answer with this, is what's going to live on once you move on?
Ooh.
What's going to live on once you're no longer here? Like, what is going to be that thing? And, you know, I think when you start focusing, because that's what legacy is about, right? It's leaving something here that's going to continue to live on. And that's what honestly has helped me too, losing people in my life, my grandparents, my close friends, when they passed away, you know, even with Aunt, you know, Arline, you know, he's one of the reasons why I went hard for rehab time. So I took something from his life, whether it was a struggle or whether it was something he stood for, or my grandmother.
I take it
and I give it to the world, even though people don't know that, to keep them living on. So like, for your legacy, like, what is it that you want to live? I mean, I'm sure it's multiple things, but you can just
If I boil it down to one thing, it would just be impact.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for. I mean, we're here for impact. You know what? Everybody's here for impact. Yeah. And everybody may want that impact to be the big stage, but it doesn't have to be that. Like, you can impact one person who impacts the world. Like, whoever taught my grandfather what he knows, and somebody came and they witnessed to my granddad, you know, Tony Evans is one of his sons. Well, Tony Evans got a radio broadcast on 1,400 stations, 130 countries. Tony Evans is the first African-American to write a Tony Evans study Bible and full Bible commentary. That's in the Bible Museum in D.C. right now. He's got his own display. But whoever those two men were that brought the gospel to my granddad had no idea that that son that was in his house would be able to impact the world at that level. But they still get the credit. Yeah. And so you got to understand that the links in this chain are not easily broken when you're doing things the right way. But we live in a culture that's opposite. It's about, you know, me, myself, and I. You know what I mean? And you don't build a legacy on me, myself, and I. Or you don't even build a legacy only on what you achieve for the greatness of yourself. Because remember, that only earns you 20 seconds of silence before the world keeps turning and we keep moving.
Man.
So the way that you leave a legacy is by impacting people who impact people with the same character that you impacted them with. You know what I'm saying? That's why we're supposed to pass on the image of God. Be fruitful and multiply wasn't for you to have lookalikes. It was for God to have lookalikes, right? So I want to impact my kids to look as much like him as possible. And if I give him his character that never runs out because he never stops,
right?
And they keep impacting people with that, then my legacy lives on simply because it was connected to something that was eternal, not temporal. And so that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And you talked about that dash, you know, whether you're young or old is based on, you know, your birth date or your death date. That's the problem with people like in their 30s or 20s or they 18 or even 40. They're like, I still have time. What?
Yeah. You don't know.
We should be smart enough to know at this point that you cannot base time based on your birth. You can only base time based on when you're going to die. And since you don't know that, we don't know who's young or old. There may be somebody who's 80 years old that has more time than you. That means he or she is younger than you.
I challenge everybody listening to this right now that if you think you have time, go walk around the cemetery and just go look at the tombstones. And that's what I did with Tristan. Tristan was like, this person was 11.
Exactly.
And he was like, I'm 11.
Exactly.
And I was like, bro, like, I'm not trying to, you know,
I'm not trying to scare him.
I'm just trying to give life into you. But yeah, this reality, man. Like, there's, you know, you never know. And it's funny when you said that, like, I thought about Tupac. Tupac said, you know, I might not change the world, but I'll spark the change in the mind.
Tupac had a lot of truth.
Yeah, he did. He did. Pac got a lot of truth, man. And he was like 24 when he died, man. That's crazy. So as we wrap this up, which, I mean, guys, you see why, you know, this guy is, I mean, amazing. You know, see why he's one of my mentors, one of my closest friends, and he's really impacted my life. And not just saying that for some fluff, but on a serious note, he really has. And you guys know why. I want to start doing this when I do interview people or have these straight up conversations. What is something in your life with everything that you do, right? You're a father of 90 kids right now, right? Husband, you have so many responsibilities like we talked about earlier. And I know how that is. You know, I know how it is to be the go-to person when people look to you for answers, look to you for strength, look to you for wisdom. What do you feel like right now is like maybe not right now, but maybe a struggle that you dealt with recently or maybe even right now, that struggle that you're dealing with, and how are you getting through, you know, that struggle? You know, because I know there's so many people listening to this right now that have struggles, and I like to not diminish the greatness of a person, of you, but I like to show people, like, even with my life, like, yeah, listen, definitely. I know you're looking at me, oh, you have all these people on social media, you don't go through nothing. No, man, the please. Reason why I talk about so much is because I go through so much, you know? Right. And so I like to bring that humanity to people so they can understand, oh, wow, like, okay, this person goes through it too. So, like, what's a struggle that you might be dealing with, and how are you getting through it, if you are getting through it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when people look at you, in my case, Tony Evans' son, or you're a speaker, all of these different things. You got a family. You know, I've had to learn to push past pain, but not ignore it.
Yeah.
Because really what happens is you get into a position where you're kind of like showing face and showing strength that you really don't have.
Yeah.
And so really that authenticity, just to say, you know what, I really need help. Like, I really need to talk to some people about my struggle that I'm going through, about, you know, some of the doubts, you know, that I had. And I've got strong faith, but when you're praying for something and it doesn't happen, you're like, man, is this even real? Like, is this, you know, so you have those thoughts. And so you get with the right people who, you know, can guide you in the right direction. And in order to be okay with accountability, to work through your pain, even though you're called to push through it, you cannot be prideful.
Yeah.
Like, people who are prideful, one of the key ingredients of their pride is autonomy. They just want to be by themselves, handle it by themselves, and they don't want anybody to know, you know, what they're experiencing and what they're going through. But authenticity and getting that out is a key ingredient of you actually being able to get to the next step and the next level of what you're going through. And so that for me has always been a challenge, especially when you're, you know, a person who a lot of people look to help them get out of their pain.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, how are you going to help me if you, you know what exactly. I'm saying? Like, so no, it's realizing that that experience and the pain that I'm going through is what qualifies me to help you. Mm. And people have to realize that what you're going through, like nobody goes to, what would a superhero movie would not have meaning unless there's a problem and a villain.
Absolutely.
That would be the dumbest movie you've ever seen in your life. That this dude or this woman is displaying all this power, but there's no problem or villain to have power over.
Right. That makes them a superhero.
That makes them a superhero. And that's what makes Jesus Christ my hero, because he's not just powerful. It's not just some ethereal spirit in Never Never Land. I've actually experienced him be my hero. But in order to be a hero, I had to have a problem. Hmm. And so your problems that you go through will actually qualify you to be the hero in somebody else's life who may be going through the same thing. It actually prepares you for the ministry that God has for you. Nobody wants to hear your story if there's no bloopers in it.
Yeah,
like nobody wants to hear you talk if you hadn't gone through anything. And so it's pushing past the pain, but it's also dealing with it and understanding it so that you can actually be useful with it.
Man, that's speaking to my heart, because I feel like with me, that's one of my struggles too. You know, just being in that spot where it's like everybody comes to you, whatever, right, and it's just like you just... And people don't even know. And, you know, I had a line that I actually wrote again, like smiling for the camera, but dying behind the scenes, you know? And it's like, what's the point of that? You know, if I'm giving all this to the world, but losing myself. And so like, you know, conversations, therapy, having conversations, being open, being honest where I'm at in my journey has like really, really helped me, you know, be able to heal and be able to be like, okay, cool. You know, like, it's all right to go through these things because—
And talk about them.
With social media, you know, the filter life, the perfection, and there's so many people that think like that. Oh, if I show people that I have a problem, then they won't, you know, I got to sell perfection in order for people to follow me or for people to buy my product or for people to look at me as a guru.
That's hard to keep up with.
Very hard to keep up with. And so I'm just glad you shared a light on that, man, with your transparency. And I'm glad you took this time, man, to come on the Straight Up Podcast.
Absolutely.
Bro, I appreciate
number one.
You.
Number one.
Yeah, bro. We're doing it. So you guys... I don't even have to tell you if. I know you got some out of this. You know, definitely hit J.E. up at Jonathan Blake Evans, right? On Instagram, Facebook, hit him up. Anything that you have going on that you want to share?
No, I mean, just yes and no. There's a lot going on. But yeah, just follow me. You keep up with me on that. I got video vlogs, and we do speaking whenever we get back out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So all of those things, everything that I do is just to impact people, and y'all are a blessing to me just as much as I am to you. We in this together. So
that's right, man. Well, I appreciate you. Make sure you guys check him out, follow him. Just, you know, when you hear this, apply. You know, don't just listen, but what are you going to take away from this and actually apply to your life? Because application creates transformation. But like I say, then every single episode, it all starts with you. I appreciate you guys. I will see you guys next week. Stay safe. All right, stay prayed up. All right, let's get it. It's rehab time. Straight up.
Straight Up is hosted and recorded by me, Trent Shelton. The episodes are produced by Chelsea Harfouche and mixed and edited by Andrew Weller. Cameron Berkman is our executive producer. Straight Up with Trent Shelton is a production of The Hollis Company. Man, one thing about me, I love fashion. And I always made a promise to myself, once I started my brand, I would come out with my own brand. I would rock my own clothes. I would wear my own hats. And today, I just released my new line of hats at shoprehabtime.com through Shopify. And listen, y'all, it's so easy. All because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify
is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, whenever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And just keeping it straight up, Shopify helped me take my brand from out the trunk, because I was selling my merch out the trunk, to now a worldwide brand reaching customers all across the globe. And what I love about Shopify also, there's no limit. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Trent. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Trent now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/Trent. Make sure Trent is lowercase. Let's get it. Hey, y'all, what's up? I'm super excited to share this with y'all. I need like a drum roll. I need like a band. But listen, this podcast, the Straight Up Podcast, is now a part of the Growth Day Network. I told y'all, man, we turn it up this year. A bunch of us are coming together to bring more growth to the world, purpose to the world, impact to the world, and to support shows and brands we believe in. That's why I'm a part of Growth Day. It's all about purpose. It's all about power. It's all about impact. And guess what? One of my friends, one of my homies is on this network also, and I need you to go subscribe to their show, The Boss Babe Podcast. I'm sure you already heard of it, but if you haven't, here you go. Natalie and Danielle are amazing. The interviews are amazing. Their strategies are amazing. If you're about that growth life, The Boss Babe Podcast will grow your life, like straight up. I know you're going to love them. I know you're going to love the show. Go check it out. Go subscribe today, and you will not regret it. Let's get it.